friends.
Just friends.
Lip sync legend and comedian Kaylee Trapp is here. Comedian and TV personality Kevin McGahan is here. They've joined me in studio to give us their opinions on things that we discussed during the week. How are you, lads?
We're not too bad.
Not too bad. He speaks for me.
Pull that mic close to you because you look you're going to fall off your... Does that feel better? Are you more comfortable now?
How do I sound now?
I'm just going to... Last time Kaylee was on, something slipped out of her mouth that shouldn't have, and her dad berated her, and then she messaged me. She's like, oh, I can't believe I... Yeah.
So can you edit that?
Yes, a little swear word.
I'm not a teacher now, though, so I can do what I want.
She's like, woohoo! School is officially over.
Yes, yesterday officially.
Yes. How do you feel? Kaylee's a teacher full-time, by the way.
Yes, we were chatting.
So I'm harmless.
Yes, so she's harmless. How do you feel when this
bittersweet is the word to sum it all up. Like, I fix something that's not broke. Like, I loved my job, but I was like, now's the time to go find myself.
What age were you teaching?
6, 7, and they're hilarious. Like,
that's a nice age.
Yes, I think so.
Before they turn into absolute D-bags.
I know, because I've seen the kids I taught 5 years ago develop, and I'm like, oh, I'm glad I have you. I have.
Yeah.
They're great, though, if you're listening.
What's the plan for the summer?
Plan is to just get the ball rolling on other stuff, and it's great to have the time now because the last month especially has just been flat out
crazy for you.
So I can't wait to have 9 to 3 to do actual other stuff now as well.
Well, that's good.
What's the worst child you've ever taught? Name
them. Name and shame.
And give us his address.
PPS number.
And give us all that. Well, look, I want to talk about something because I found this really interesting. So we learned during the week, right? Everyday small talk is actually good for your health. So there's this woman called Dr. Gillian Sandstrom, a senior lecturer in psychology of kindness at the University of Sussex. Now, I know that sounds a bit makey-uppy, but bear with me. She published a study that found that the quality of someone's relationships is a bigger predictor of early death than obesity and physical inactivity, on a par with smoking and alcohol consumption. So God is talking about our own, it's called now social fitness. Mm. How do you interact every day? Are you one of those people who walk slowly behind that person if you see someone who you kind of know, so you don't have to talk to them? I kind of do that sometimes.
Yeah, I do that.
Or do you go up and like, hi, is your social exercise off the charts? Do you speak to strangers, Kevin, when you're queuing for something?
No, not really. Unless there's something like you really, like if there was a dog ran into the shop, where you'd comment. If there's something you need to comment on, you would, but
yeah, something's happening in the distance and you look at your
own. Or if somebody was being like a real pain in the queue, that you could look at somebody else and you'd be like, what is the story with this?
Yeah, it's very slow, isn't it?
You know? It's very slow. It's very slow today.
Yeah, that's like at the school, guys. That was fierce cold. You know, you have these little sayings to get you through. Yeah.
Well, there's like 5 sayings that you can basically get through any conversation in Ireland. It's like, sure, look at this, is it. You know yourself, go on, I'll let you go. Like, those 5 sayings will get you through literally any conversation.
You got
Oh, I heard that. That's the intake of air. There's another culture that does that. I think it's in Africa or somewhere. Or maybe it's Sweden. They're two very very different looking people.
Yeah. But it is a dumb thing and we love to do it. Yeah.
And then you're not even listening to what they're saying.
You're not even listening. You're barely engaging. In fact, you're only just getting oxygen inside your body. It's all you're doing.
Kaylee says here you actually love speaking with strangers.
Oh, I do. Yeah. I worked in a shop since I was 15, so you have to get good at it. I was just telling Kevin outside, there's one conversation I will not have with people though, and it's the weather. I refuse. Like, that's such an easy out, isn't it?
Yeah.
The weather.
We are obsessed with the weather. Mm.
Old people, I've noticed on trains, will talk to strangers willy-nilly. Like, old people love a chat.
Mm. Huh? Not lovely.
What do you mean, not lovely? Dirty. Oh, isn't that lovely? All right,
I'm not being cynical. I think that is lovely.
And it's probably a good thing because our generation, the only time we talk to strangers is online. And it's not small talk, it's big talk. And that is not working out well for us at all, mental health-wise.
And then when you meet these people in real life, they're not the same person at all. It's sad, you know, the way the world's going.
We just have massive confrontations online with strangers, whereas old people just talk with the weather.
Communication has changed so much. How frightening is it when your phone rings and it's your friend? You're like, why are they ringing? We don't take calls anymore. Somebody is dead.
Yes.
Somebody is dead.
It's all voice notes. Do you voice note a lot now?
I voice note a lot. I like the voice note. It gives people whenever they want, they can listen to it.
But you have to put a cap on it. Like when a 2 minute one comes in, I'm like, I'm listening to that another time.
No, like my wife's friend does voice notes and it's honestly a podcast. It's a 20 minute.
And eating in the middle of it and everything.
And there's lots of like, yeah, what else was I saying? And you're like, separate these.
Yes.
You ask them one question and they don't answer it until the end. And
well, look, we need to get better at communicating, and especially with strangers, because that is going to make you live longer. That is a fact. That
there
is from Dr. Gillian Sandstrom, a senior lecturer in the psychology of kindness. I know that sounds a bit Mickey Mouse, but it is a University of Sussex, so, and it was a published study. So go and chat to randomers. Okay, on Tuesday, Cormac came in. He was banging on. Oh, God. It's like Mr. Bean, Cormac, right?
Mr. Bean doesn't talk, Jen.
This is very true. If Mr. Bean could talk, it would be Cormac Battle.
Right.
He locked his keys in the house. Because he does that weird thing that I found that most of Ireland do. He keeps his car keys separate to his house keys.
No, that's ridiculous.
He runs. That's why.
He runs.
He's a runner, isn't
he? No, he's not.
Because I have to do that sometimes and my mother is always going mad at me and I'm like, I run, I'm not going to carry the whole key, the whole chunk in my pocket.
She's right. Yeah. She is right. You should really, or you're right. You're right. Cormac does run, does he? Okay. Away from responsibility.
Wow, you've cracked the case really quickly there, Sherlock.
I tell you what, it's bad for the, if you're putting the key in, if they're heavy. So a mechanic said it's bad for the car to have a big, heavy set of keys going into your car, if that's what your car does. Also, security reasons. Also, there was loads of reasons. Anyway, he got locked out of his house and he had to drive to County Laois with his kids to get the spare set. Kevin, have you ever lost your keys or locked yourself out of your gaff? Have you ever done that?
Since I was a child, I was always the one who would have to break into the house if somebody locked the keys. So I've never lived in a house that I haven't been able to break into.
That's a skill.
It is a skill. I could be a great burglar.
Are you getting the windows? Are you breaking down doors?
Depending on, yeah, it's usually windows.
Okay.
Or climb up on the roof, get in the bathroom window. But I locked my child inside a car.
Lovely.
When she was about 8 months old.
Oh.
We were down by the swimming pool and I somehow, it was the older car, somehow locked her in and I had a big, big panic. She started crying and like, luckily like a nice man came by and he was like, what's going on? I was like, lock my baby inside the car. I'm a bad daddy. And he said, I'll mind the child. You go home, get the spare. And I came back. And my parking tag was up and there was a lad waiting to give me a ticket. And I was like, there's a baby in the car, man. And he didn't give me a ticket. So it's probably a good way to not get a ticket is put your baby in the car.
When you told this story to your missus, what was she more angry about? Locking the baby in the car or leaving your baby with a complete stranger?
Do you know what? I think she understood that I was so shook. Yeah. It was like the first child.
Like, what do you do?
She was very understanding, I have to say.
Good honor. Yeah. And the kid is fine. You got the kid out of the car.
Like she screams when you put her inside any car.
She's traumatized.
So she just walks everywhere.
Good on her. She can chat to strangers and live longer. That's fine. What about yourself? Have you ever lost keys? Locked yourself out of the house?
I'm gonna embarrass my brother here. He is a nightmare with keys. So I'm gonna give him this story. Like a nightmare with car keys. My father, his heart's broke. So do you know Ross Nile Beach up in Donegal? Mm-hmm. My brother, being a culture, you probably feel a bit safer to leave your keys in the wheel of your car. Do you ever do that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when you go for a wee swim. So he went for a wee swim, left the keys in the wheel, the tide comes in, washes the keys out, rings dad. Dad, you need to get up here because the tide's coming in my car, blah, 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 blah. So dad bails it up the road and he's going through the north and the PSNI pull him over for speeding. And he's like, he tells the PSNI the story and they're like, that story is so unbelievable. It's believable.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were like to him, but we'd rather you get there alive or whatever. So he took his time then. They let him away. They were actually really sound. And he got up
Shout out to the PSNI, got
the car keys. Yeah. And then another time he had a few house parties with mum and dad were away. And he lost the car keys and mum and dad went ballistic because they didn't have a spare set, had to get new keys, whatever. And on Christmas Day, opening our presents, what could we see twinkling on the Christmas tree? The car keys.
How did it get there?
House parties, people were playing with them and whatever. And dad was like, I knew you had a party at the weekend.
Oh, name and shame. What's your brother's name?
Gary Trapp.
Gary Trapp.
Yeah.
You absolute loser with the keys. Has he not learned his lesson?
No. He's a wife now, like she keeps him right. Yeah, she does. Blanid, big ups to you.
Fair play to you, Blanid. I do find there's just certain people who just lose things constantly. They just don't I don't think it's being unlucky. They just don't have the capacity.
Is that like a psychological thing to
yeah,
use?
Yeah, it might
My
be.
My wife is like that. She like puts stuff everywhere. Like I'm quite anal about stuff. You put your little thing here. Her inhaler and her keys Ooh. Are everywhere. And she loses them and then she's had an asthma attack.
You're like, just leave them. Like,
put them around your neck or something. I don't know.
When you lose something in front of, how old is the eldest kid now?
Wallace is 2.5.
2.5. Okay. So let's say you're really stressed and you're going out the door and you lose something. Mm-hmm. How do you react in that? How do you act in that situation?
I check the normal places. I check the washing machine. I check. See, this is when you have a kid. The normal places are the abnormal places. So now the normal places to look for stuff is the washing machine behind the telly. And there's a little CD player with a tiny slot in the back of the cabinet. She put stuff in there.
In there.
We opened it up. We found remote controls. We found keys. We found loads of stuff.
Under the couch.
Under the couch. No, she wouldn't. See, that wouldn't be interesting enough for her to put it. She wants to put it somewhere that you'd never think.
Amazing. Like. So, yeah. Amazing. I got we had a psychologist on. I keep telling this story because I just think it's genius. When I lose something, I'm going out the door, I lose my rag. I'm like, where's the kid? Oh, and this psychologist said he pretends to lose stuff in front of his kids. So his kids were 8 and 5, so a bit, you know, older. But he pretends to lose stuff in a really stressful time. So let's say he's going to work and he'll go, oh, I lost my keys. Where did I have them last? Let me go upstairs and check. And he does it very calmly. Now, he has the keys in the back pocket. But his kids see him reacting to a very stressful situation. So in turn, he said when they lose something or they're going out the door and they're in a rush, they're very calm because it's all... They just copy what we do, don't they?
Yeah.
There's a little tip for you. So, Richard Hogan. Yes, he's a writer as well, has
That's
a book
genius.
Out. Isn't it?
Yeah.
I love that. We're going to take a quick break. One. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about friendships. The farthest or strangest place you found an Irish connection. And what you do with your pets when they die. Jen's Friends. Just Friends. Yes, and I'm here with Kaylee and Kevin. Kaylee and Kevin. That's why I like, because you have the same sounding names.
Okay.
In talking about all the things that we were discussing during the week and the things that got you texting in. Now, we spoke about friendships during the week after Lewis Capaldi announced that he will be stepping down from touring for this foreseeable future. Did you see the video, the Glasgow video of Lewis Capaldi? Very hard to watch.
It was.
Very hard to watch, but... He is taking time out to look after himself, but his friends and his family have come out and been very vocal in sharing their support, including his pal Niall Horan. I don't think Niall Horan and Lewis Capaldi, we're talking about this off air, Kevin. It's not a massive stretch of friendships. Like, they're similar. Like, they're both Celts. They both came from, you know, they started off in the music industry. They were kind of catapulted into fame. They're quite similar.
They both seem quite down to earth. You could have a pint with them. I don't think they would travel with a big entourage. No. You know, they both seem like just normal lads.
Yeah, not notionable.
No notions.
No you notions. Think that until you see Niall Horan's facial regime in the morning. Look
oh,
that
really?
Up on YouTube.
I was going to lip sync that actually.
Were you?
Yeah, I still think I will.
Please do
yeah.
that.
And he does it in a way he's like, oh, I'm just going to do this here because like people are asking for it. I'm like, Niall, you love it.
Just fill Kevin in because I know he's a soap and water kind of guy, aren't you, Kev?
I like a bit of soap, a bit of water.
So his, like... Yes. Correct me if I'm wrong. Does he do the full LED light?
The whole shebang. Well, no, I would. I was
what?
Pretty sure that that mirror might have just had the light, but it
Say
was
that again.
Fairly lit now.
That do you what?
Don't! Kevin!
Is that one of the gifts that they give Christ?
It's only because. Is this Kevin Monaghan now? Is this
frankincense, myrrh, and gold?
Uh-oh. What is it? A mirror?
This is the wrong combo, guys.
Mirror. Unusual friendships.
A mirror.
A mirror. But he does full exfoliation. Yeah. He does lead lights. He does
He looks great for somebody from Mullingar.
It works.
That's fired from a cabin man.
Oh, I love the people from Mullingar. Should they Brezzy?
Brezzy does look good as well. Brezzy's an anomaly though.
He looks after his skin
yeah, he's
too.
From outer space. Do you have any out of the ordinary friendships? I suppose in comedy, it's a mishmash of different types of people and culture and backgrounds and ages.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you have lots of, you know, friends that you would normally be friends with, Kev, would you?
I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think what kind of person I'm attracted to. I'm always attracted to a sense of humour, and that could be any age at
really?
All. Really? Any age, sex or
have
creed.
You always had that? Like even
yeah,
as a
like
kid.
Even in college, I was in three different colleges, and I was always friends with an older man with a beard and long hair, like a Christ-like
wow.
type. Yeah,
yeah.
Unusual friend. Maybe I'm the unusual friend.
Maybe. Maybe. What about you, Katie? Yeah, in the comedy world, would you gravitate to?
I gravitate towards people who are like the polar opposite to me or have different perspectives. Like, I love to chat to somebody who can, I can not learn something that's quite cheesy. But do you know that you're not similar to them? Even in the teaching world, everyone always says, don't marry a teacher because their conversations in the evening would just be so boring.
Yeah,
just sit there. Yes, I'd rather, like I was just saying, I'd be good friends with Stephen Kelly and we have these chats and I go to him for advice on things because it's the complete opposite of what I think. And I'm like, oh, I love that. So yeah, I would like you. Wise. What is it? What did you say?
I didn't say wise.
Oh, no.
I just said old lads with long hair and beards.
Yeah, that fits the bill there. Yeah.
Stephen has a big old beard.
Yeah. Oh, really? I had this conversation just last week with my hippie friend and I went to see her and she was like, yeah, you know, you just got to surround yourself with like-minded people. And I said, no, you don't.
No.
That's actually the worst thing you could possibly do.
Yeah.
Just surround yourself with people who think like you.
That's
There's
an
no
echo
challenge.
Chamber.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'd love to hear from you guys. The most unusual friendship you've ever had. 51552. Where is the farthest, guys, you have gone and found an Irish connection? Because on Monday show we read a piece in the Irish Times from a Cork woman who was in Fiji and she met a local man who'd been in Cork while working on cargo ships. Like, she was in Fiji and she met another lad from Cork. Like, it's just so typical.
That's
it's
head
so
reckon. Yeah.
Do you find a head reckon?
Yeah, I was in Shenzhen in China and I saw a lad, heard my voice. And he came over and I knew where he was from because he was wearing his Galway jersey. For some reason, Irish people go abroad and they want to advertise it to everybody. And he was like, oh, well, how's it going? You're from Ireland. I was like, yeah, yeah. And like after 10 minutes, like he was asking me out on dinner. And I was like, if I met you in Shop Street, like we wouldn't be going, we wouldn't be organising pints.
Yeah.
So it is a strange one. So I'm, it's, although I do like going to an Irish pub.
I know, it's just your safe bet. You know, if there's, a civil war or something, you're running, where's the Irish bar?
Yeah, yeah, it's
but
like the embassy.
It's like the Irish bar that doesn't serve Guinness and doesn't have Irish staff or anything. It's just complete notions.
The staff thing, like I think I'm nearly more attracted to, like Irish bar staff understand something that other people don't, is that Irish bar staff understand the urgency of pints.
Yes.
Like, you know, when you walk into a bar abroad, and you're mad for the first pint and they approach you like they're selling like a sandwich, like they leave you for 5 minutes and you're like, you need to understand, like you need to treat somebody coming in from the bar as if they've come in from the desert after 3 days.
Well, it is the desert for us because we're not very used to hot climate. So if we are in America or Africa or whatever, we're gasping.
Like a bar in Ireland on a Saturday night is like the New York Stock Exchange. It is just people flying orders. We have 4 Guinness, two vodkas, a pack of crisps. And like the bar staff in this country are unbelievable.
Three orders at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we talk about this kind of weird one? Because we had a huge response to it yesterday. It was from listeners reminiscing about their beloved pet. Some really sad, but the greatest text of all time came in. It was from a lad who said, our gecko, Frank, is wrapped in clean film in the freezer next to the ice cream.
Oh my God.
Sorry, it wasn't Frank. Gary was the bearded dragon. Am I getting that right now? Our bearded dragon.
Oh my God.
Are they going to use it for science? Or
yeah, why are you freezing it? Like, are you hoping like science will catch up and we can reanimate this dragon?
I don't know. But people deal with grief in different ways.
Wow.
It was all on the back of an article about a pet funeral home in Seattle that offers aquamation, where they basically dip your pet in like an acid and you just get the skeletons and you reassemble it. It's a process that uses a solution of heat and lye to reduce the remains to bone. It is actually legal in some states as well. Pets have been cremated, they've been turned into necklaces. Taryn was on Jen's Newsy Bits and she has a lock of her dog's hair in her necklace, a tattoo of the dog and the dog's ashes under her bed. She wonders why she's still single. people keep photos somewhere in the house. Even tattoos was a big one as well. Have you ever done anything like, what have you done for a pet, Kev?
I've never been that close to an animal. See, we grew up in the country where it's not a very sort of, and romantic is the wrong word, but we're not that attached. Pets are just sort of animals that work around the place. So it was very unceremonious, the funerals in our house.
Kaylee, what about you? Do you have a hamster
in the garden? We had a dog for 12 years and it died last year and it was like losing a limb. My father said he'd never do it again. ever, really? You know, never. And like, my parents are retired now, and I'm always saying I'd love to have a wee doggy around the house for them, but Dad's like, I can't go through it, I can't.
Really? Aww. He was that devastated?
Suffer another loss.
Yeah, and it this sounds really bad, but you don't know how good you have it until they're gone. Like, there's times you'd be like, will I take Joey for a walk? Nah, not bother. And then when he died, we're like, we wish we had taken him on that walk. But yeah, and then I was thinking there, I'll not name names, but someone I know has children, and her dog died, and the children were adamant that they were going to get the dog cremated, and she's like, yeah, we'll get the dog cremated. So then she looked up the price and she's like, absolutely not. So she got ashes from the fire and put them in a jar, and they knew no different.
Exactly.
Oh, I thought you were going to say she put them in the barbecue or something.
No,
Kevin. But do you know you have to pay extra if you get your dog cremated? Because otherwise, it's, as Taryn explained it in Newsbits, it's kind of like a pick and mix. So you get loads of different animals.
Yes.
But you can actually pay extra to get it separated to make sure you get Rex or whoever. Wow.
I do know a woman at home who had a funeral for a dog, like proper, like she had a wake. And you know, a coffin made, and you
rightly
know, like,
so.
God, you know, he went very quick in the end. Like, can you imagine the chat?
I love that.
And the goujons at that way.
The small dog.
But it's becoming
little bowls of biscuits.
It's so popular. People, you know, they're getting their dogs cremated, the taxidermy, which is expensive because Taryn looked into it, obviously. I think she settled for a little lock of hair around her neck.
We have that. We have a little glass bottle with a bit of hair of Joey.
Oh, really?
What kind of a dog was Joey?
I'm impressed at this point. What, say that again?
What kind of a dog?
Just don't
he's a border collie.
Pasta.
Border collie. Yeah. We got him in the mountains of Argyll.
Of course you did.
It's getting emotional.
There's nothing. I've never seen my dad cry. But when his dog died and I saw him shed a tear, like, we've been through a lot, you know?
It's nothing worse than seeing your dad
There's
cry.
There's nothing worse than seeing your dad
it's
cry.
It's getting
like,
real whenever you see
isn't
dad
it?
Cry.
Yeah. Like, you know, the shit's
it usually only happens at county finals for my dad.
Lads, that's
Do you
all.
Get any of those?
Hey! Listen, we need to stop this. I think there's going to be a scrap. That's all we have time for. Thank you so much for joining me on Jen's Friends today. What is happening in your lives, Kevin? What's going on? I presume you're doing the big one.
I'm doing Ivy Gardens at the end of next month.
Great.
So that'll be great crack.
Is there still tickets for that?
There is some. The first show I'm doing is with Tommy Tiernan and Martin Angola and a few others. That's sold out straight away, but there is a few tickets left for other shows. Oh, and I'm supporting Joanne McNally tomorrow night. I think they're really struggling to sell tickets to that, so they're doing 2-for-1 deals. So
is that Vicar Street?
That's in Vicar Street,
Amazing. Okay.
Fabulous.
I think it's our millionth show.
Yeah, her millions show. Go and check it out. Kaylee, what's happening? You're off work!
Yay!
I love
Employ
it.
Me! Anybody out there?
Well, do you know what you have to do? Please, please, please. We've got a few texts in. You have to do the Niall Horan lip sync.
I will.
And I look forward to that because it's a skill you have that nobody else has. It's just so funny and so good. Thank you so much for joining me. Enjoy your weekend. That's it for Jen's Friends.
Thank you.